Chapter 4. Not quite gone, not quite forgotten. Beep, 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 beep. No, 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 no. It's 7 a.m. Monday morning and my throat doesn't hurt at all. How is that possible? I inhaled bitterly cold air. I showered last night and walked around the block without blow drying. I purposely didn't take a vitamin before bed. Don't tell my dad. He's obsessed with vitamins. Also, I didn't have my evening glass of fresh orange juice. And I love my evening glass of juice. The rush of vitamin C gives me sweet dreams. Maybe I have a fever. I am feeling pretty headachy. I could have at least 101, maybe 102. My throat isn't sore, but I'm burning up. Might have to be hospitalized. Maybe the kids at school will feel guilty about bad-mouthing someone who's sick and send me flowers in one of those life-sized cards that everyone signs in different colors. In fact, they'll probably realize that my horrendous fashion show performance was a result of this sickness, and I'll be forgiven, because you can't be mad at someone who's sick. A-list, here I come. Plus, I'll have a super hot doctor nursing me to health. Yes! I hurry to the bathroom, park myself on the edge of the bathtub, and shove the thermometer under my tongue. Oh, give it up! You're perfectly healthy, Miri says, barging in and flipping on the faucet. Ow! I mumble, which translates to get out in non-thermometer speak. I'm sick. Probably contagious. She applies toothpaste to her brush. Suck it up and go to school. You'll be fine. I will not be fine. I catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror and gasp. My chin has completely crusted over and seems worse than ever. It looks like a beard. Isn't this all Miri's fault to begin with? Losing my dancing skills, bruising my chin. I'm about to tell her where to get off, but decide to try to calm myself down instead. I shouldn't be getting so emotional when I'm deathly ill. The thermometer beeps and reads 98.2? What? That's impossible. How could I not have a fever? I'm perfectly healthy. How can this be? Isn't normal body temperature 98.6? Perhaps there's a dangerous medical condition that causes your temperature to drop. Maybe by noon it'll be down to 90. By this afternoon, 80. And by this evening, I'll be a frozen popsicle, unable to move without my fingers snapping off like ice-capped branches. Miri grabs the traitorous thermometer from my hands. You're fine. Go get dressed. Speaking of ice, maybe it's snowing outside. Then the school will call a snow day and I'll get to stay home. I sprint back to my room and hurl open the window blinds. Sunny. A beautiful sunny day. Shouldn't the weather know that it's supposed to reflect my mood? Mom, I holler. Can I stay home today? Please? No, she yells back through the walls. I flop onto my unmade bed and pull the covers over my head. But I'm going to be a social outcast, and I have a beard. I told you if you're mature enough to use magic, you should be mature enough to face the consequences. Besides, you can't hide away forever. Not forever. Just until my classmates graduate. So I'll be a few years older than the others when I finally go back. At least my body will have caught up to them, hopefully. Even my own little sister has beat me in that department with her B-cup breasts. How unfair is that? But I look like a man. I can hear her laughing. Ha ha. It's not that bad, Rachel. Get ready for school. Get ready for social mortification is more like it. If I make my steps really small, I'll be late. Because I don't have a note, I'll get expelled. And then I'll never have to go to school again. Although, then I won't get into college. I'll never get a good job, and the only place that will hire me will be McDonald's. And all I'll eat will be Big Macs and fries and One day my neighbor will find a 500-pound me unable to squeeze through the front door of my cat-infested apartment. I make my steps slightly bigger and tighten my puffy black coat. The bright sun deceptively makes the weather look warm when it's actually even colder than yesterday. As I approach the last few blocks before school, something seems off, like a silent Times Square. A crowd of students have gathered outside the building. Geez, are they all waiting for me so they can mock me? Am I so famous? This rules, man, a passing senior says. I'm going back to bed. I'd like to go back to bed. I'd like to go back to middle school. I sprint toward the mob and try to eavesdrop on a cluster of sophomores to hear what's going on. Cows in there! How funny is that? It was so the senior prank, one of them says. Cows? Best prank ever, someone else comments. How did they do it? Get 50 cows into the school gym without anyone seeing? 50 cows? The words and noise around me swirl like I'm on a merry-go-round. Doubt if any of the seniors were smart enough to pull this off. Probably those jerks at Brentwood High. Classes are going to be canceled. Major property damage. Health officials have to decontaminate. I feel instantly lightheaded, like I just gave blood. They couldn't be Miri's cows. The Sammy's cows? No. Maybe. Did Miri wish them into the school gym? Why would she wish them into my gym? She doesn't even go to this school. She's still in middle school. Am I partly responsible for the destruction of school property? I feel sick. On the other hand, no school. How sweet and sour. And then I spot Raph. My cheeks heat up despite the cold. Even though he's not facing me, I can tell it's him by his camel leather jacket. It's his fall/spring jacket, the one he wore when I first spotted him in September and thought he was cute. For the rest of my life, I will think of Raph whenever I see a boy in a camel jacket, or anything camel-colored, like caramel sauce, which is just as delicious. Raph is not wearing his gloves. He dropped one of them at my apartment the night he came to pick me up, unsuccessfully, for spring fling. Since a piece of clothing is the key ingredient in a love spell, of course I asked Miri to whip one up for me. Unfortunately, she's still scarred from the mess caused by the love spell we put on Dad, and isn't quite eager to get back in the fake affection saddle just yet. Small disaster involving us trying to break up my dad and his fiancée's wedding. Obviously, we sorted it out, since they're currently honeymooning in Hawaii. Long story, but let's just say our stepmother turned out to be not as bad as we first feared. I hope his hands aren't cold. I guess, since it's April, there isn't much point in buying a new pair, although he could probably find a fantastic sale. Did he see me? Does he hate me? Should I duck or apologize again? You've got to make things happen, I remind myself. If I can fly on a broomstick with no seatbelt, I can talk to a guy who used to like me. First, I need to hide my chin. I unroll my turtleneck so that it covers the lower half of my face. Much better. Okay, now I'm going over. In 10. I tap my feet against the ground and count. 9. 10. 10 more seconds. He's leaving. My knight and camel is disappearing into the horizon like a setting sun. I know I should run after him, but my new shoes are stuck to the ground like lumps of pink clay. I wallow in my own pool of sadness until I'm snapped out of it by the sound of snickering. I look to my right and see Jewel Sanchez, Melissa Davis, and Steffi Collins standing in a semicircle, all smirking at me. With their brown, red, and blonde hair, they remind me of evil Charlie's Angels. They are all wearing brand-new, trendy back-to-school outfits. Tight jeans, designer spring coats, sunglasses perched on freshly highlighted hair. Even though I know that Melissa is the same height as Jewel, 5'6", she seems to tower over Jewel. The ego must add inches the way the camera adds pounds. Jewel's mahogany curls are clipped to her head in a style that tries to look like she just threw it back, even though from our years of BB, best buds, status, I know it took her at least an hour. Steffi's long blonde pigtails are gone, and her short Tinkerbell do, along with her petite frame, makes her look like she's 7 years old. A malicious 7-year-old, the kind who steals your candy. The three of them, and Dory Madsen, were lucky enough to be London's chosen freshman four in the fashion show. They are therefore super A-list. Unfortunately, if their three pairs of eyes were laser beams, I would have disintegrated by now. I instantly look down at my shoes. I'll just walk away before they can attack me. Slowly. Controlled. One step. Two. Three. Run, run, run! Flump. Controlled means not tripping over a bike rack and falling on my elbows, doesn't it? I see a flash of light, and I hope I've fallen unconscious. I'll wake up in the hospital, finally living the pitiable loads of flowers, life-size card, hot doctor scenario. But no such luck. I can hear the trinity of freshman evil cackling. I can't believe that Jewel, my ex-best friend, is actually laughing at me. Ignoring me is one thing, but laughing? From my spot on the ground, I see my surroundings blurring, mostly because of the prickling at the backs of my eyes. Until a familiar hand reaches to help me up. "Hi," says Tammy. "There you are." I've never been happier to see my new best friend's face. "Thank God," I say, scrambling to my feet and brushing dirt from my coat. "I missed you. When did you get back?" "Last night at 11. She wrinkles her nose and gently touches my chin. "That looks like it hurts." "It's fine. And you look amazing," I cry, and give her a bear hug. Unlike me, she's tanned and relaxed looking. "How was it?" She drops her backpack to the pavement. "Fantastic. I went shark diving."
"Excuse me?"
"I was in a cage underwater surrounded by great hammerheads. It was so cool."
"Is that safe? Why would you want to do that?"
"The cage totally protects you." "And what do you mean, why? Where else could I see sharks?" I motion to Jewel, Melissa, and Steffi with my chin, and then roll the turtleneck back up. Those girls are the sharks in the sea of high school.
"Maybe I should bring a cage to class."
Tammy laughs and then steps on tiptoe and scans the yard. "Have you seen Aaron?"
"No." "Have you spoken to him since you've been back?"
"No, and he hasn't emailed me since I left on Sunday." "Why? Do you think something is wrong?" "I know he was going to Mick Lloyd's party on the night I left for the Gulf of Mexico. I'll die if he hooked up with someone. You haven't heard anything, have you?"
She immediately rubs the tip of her nose, like she always does when she's feeling insecure. It's a little on the large side, and she's convinced that its size is the reason she never had a boyfriend before Aaron. "From who? You're the only person still speaking to me."
"Not getting an email from your boyfriend for 8 days doesn't sound promising.
Not that I'd tell her that. There are certain things a best friend must never say. One is, I don't think he likes you. Two is, yes, your nose is big. But the truth is, her nose isn't why she's never had a boyfriend. She's never had a boyfriend because boys are morons. I mean, I've never had a real boyfriend and nothing's wrong with me, right? Well, except for my extreme slobbiness and weirdo family. And my beard. But that's new. But in any case, I think it's bad news he hasn't been in touch over the break. Especially since after my dad's wedding, they kissed for 3 hours on her couch, and that was barely 8 days ago. "I'm sure he's just busy," I say. She scowls disbelievingly and then yawns, covering her mouth.
"I'm tired."
Probably because of the time zone difference. It's only an hour, she says and laughs.
Students! Hello? Students?
Mrs. Conch, the principal, is shouting into a loudspeaker. She's short and plump and reminds me of a dinner roll.
Everyone, please vacate the premises. Check your school email tonight for an update.
Insane, Tammy murmurs. Do you think the cow rumor is true?
Seems unbelievable.
She shrugs and yawns simultaneously. Yeah, unbelievable. I know I should be more worried about the cows, but at the moment I'm more concerned by the laser beam of a glare coming at me from London Zeal. She's a few feet away, surrounded by her uber-glam and shiny fashion show friends. The girls are all made up with their heavy lipstick, short denim skirts, and black knee-high boots, and the guys are wearing their Coolio black leather jackets and crumpled jeans. London is all white. White jacket, white leather skirt, and a white 2-inch heel on her unbroken foot to match the all-white full-leg cast. She wouldn't want to break her one-color-per-outfit rule. I shouldn't make fun. The cast on her leg is all my fault, and I feel awful. I timidly approach the crowd. London, I am so sorry, I say sincerely. Even though she's evil, she does not deserve to have a broken leg. The group snickers. London shuffles toward me.
Sorry, she hisses. You'll be sorry. Very sorry when I'm done with you.
She jabs her French manicured nail into my chest and then hobbles back to her friends. Having the freshman A-list hating me is one thing, but the senior A-list too? I'm doomed. Let's get out of here, Tammy says.
Let's. Want to come over?
Tammy does a final scan around the yard, seemingly searching for Aaron. Then she gives me an okay sign with her right hand. In scuba diving, this can mean anything from, are you okay, to, do your ears hurt, to, yes, I'm okay, to, I'm terrific. So, sometimes I'm not entirely sure what she means, but at the moment I think she's saying, sounds like a plan.
Please vacate the premises,
Principal Conch says again, sounding frantic and angry, as though it's our fault the cows have invaded our gym. As though...
The cows are in the gym?
Mary shrieks at 6 that night, stamping her foot on my carpet.
Keep your voice down, I say. Mom is watching the news in her room.
How is that possible? Are you sure we did it?
No, but it makes sense. You zap them to safety, they disappear, and this morning there are 50 cows in the school gym. A coincidence? I don't think so.
She kicks her chair and it teeters on its side.
Careful, I warn her.
Miri's kicks are like mini weapons.
The spell was more of a moving spell than a safety spell,
I add, nodding. Although maybe your raw will stupidly thought that the cows were safer in the gym. Who knows? She waves her hands, clearly exasperated.
But, what's going to happen to them now?
How should I know? You tell me. You're the one who moved them.
She tries to bite her fingers, but I hit her hand away.
They must be our cows, she says. But how did they end up at your school?
Do you think I was subconsciously trying to get you out of going to class?
Aw, Mary, that's so sweet.
But listen, as much as I appreciate the thought, I think you should just do a spell reversal.
No way,
she says, shaking her head.
First of all, the spell reversal is a 5-broomer, and I don't want to screw this up anymore.
Next to every spell in the book are broom icons. 1 broom means the spell is light and easy. 5 mean extremely intricate and difficult to cast.
And second, I'm not sending the cows back there. There must be another way. We'll have to move them somewhere else.
And how are we going to do that?
We'll go over and zap them.
She nibbles on her finger, then swallows.
Did you just eat your skin? That is so vile.
I shake my head in disgust.
And no, we can't just hop over to the school. I heard police sirens when I was leaving. It's hardcore there now. Someone will see us.
She looks panicked.
Do they know it was us?
Yes, Mary. When they spotted cows in the gym, they assumed one of their students' little sisters had cast a magic spell. She throws her hands over her eyes.
Oh, no!
I was being sarcastic. Of course they don't know. They think it was a senior prank.
She takes a deep breath.
Well, what's going to happen?
I just got an email. School is closed tomorrow and Wednesday, but reopening on Thursday. So the good news is, I get 2 more days off. Thanks for your help.
The phone rings and I grab it.
He has mono,
Tammy says happily.
That's why he didn't email. He was too tired to even make it to the computer. Isn't that great?
Hold on, I say, and lead Mary out of my room.
Can you call her back, please?
Mary cries.
Hello? Important?
Give me 2 secs.
This is a private conversation, I say, and push my door closed.
Tam, I'm happy that he wasn't breaking up with you, but aren't you worried you're going to get sick?
And then she'll have to miss school.
Some people have all the luck.
Pause.
I feel fine.
I whisper into the phone since Mary's a little too young to hear this.
But it's the kissing disease, you know, passed from saliva, and you guys made out.
I'm healthy. And anyway,
now her voice drops to a whisper,
my mom would kill me.
You'd think that having 2 moms would make Tammy's household super liberal, but Tammy doesn't tell them a thing.
But isn't that great news?
You fell asleep on my couch today, watching Casablanca.
You love that movie,
I say, more to myself than to her. Sleepiness is one of the signs of mononucleosis.
I was tired, Rachel. Diving is exhausting, especially with sharks.
Mary is banging on the door, and Tammy so has mono and is going to desert me at school. Terrific. I gotta go. Want to come over again tomorrow and watch Titanic? She likes anything that won an Oscar. And maybe we can share toothbrushes and I'll catch mono from her. Awesome. We hang up and I let my sister back in.
What are we going to do about the cows? Should we tell Mom?
She asks helplessly.
Rachel?
My mom, apparently psychic, screams from her room.
Your school is on TV.
Mary and I run to my mom's bedroom, and there, on TV, are the cows. A reporter is standing in front of them.
Today at JFK High School, a school prank has been taken to a new level. Someone has moved, I groan, 50 cows into a high school gym. In related news, this explains the mysterious Saturday disappearance of the cattle at Sammy's, a slaughterhouse in upstate New York.
The scenery changes to Sammy's.
Hey, my mom says from under her purple duvet. Isn't that near?
La la la.
Mary starts biting her nails. I twirl my hair. An elderly man is on TV.
It was the strangest thing, he says,
looking utterly mystified.
The animals were here grazing at 7 p.m., but gone by 4 a.m. We didn't hear a thing. It's almost supernatural. If we didn't know better, we'd think it was the work of aliens.
Girls, my mom says, her eyes baring into us. Something you want to tell me?
Squirm.
Rachel, she begins, this is your plan to get school canceled?
She thinks I did this?
Hello, I'm the kid who was left behind, the child to whom nature forgot to hand down the witch gene.
Mom, I swear I did not know this was going to happen.
She thumps the still tucked in spot behind her.
Why don't you two sit down and explain?
Mary's face squishes up like a raisin.
Here come the waterworks.
It's my fault, she wails, tears spilling. I was trying to save the cows.
Sob.
I didn't mean to put them in the school gym, I swear. And now someone innocent is going to get blamed. And it can't be me because the people will know and I don't want it to be someone else because that would be so unfair.
Miri then climbs into the spot next to our mom, and I plop down on the corner of the bed. My mom pats Miri's hair. So you were trying to save the cows, she says. We nod frantically. Yes.
I see.
Okay, now that she knows, everything will be fine. Mom will tell us how to fix the situation, and all will be taken care of. Problem solved.
So how are you going to fix it?
Mom asks.
What? Us?
I say.
I said you're allowed to use magic, but I also said that you have to face the consequences. And that means not expecting me to clean up your messes.
She shakes her index finger at us.
You two are on your own.
Miri sinks into the mattress.
Do you have any advice?
She squeaks.
Yes. Next time you cast a spell, think about what you're doing. Where did you think the cows were going to go?
Somewhere safe,
my sister answers.
Yes, but where?
I don't know.
Now you do, Mom says sternly. So you'd better be more careful next time.
And then she smiles? Where did that come from? Are you okay, Mom?
Sorry, she says, still smiling. Just thinking about something else.
Something else? What could possibly be distracting her from our moving cows across the state? What's up with you?
She aims the remote at the TV and clicks it off. Lex called today.
Lex?
Mary looks confused.
Luther?
Yes, Superman's nemesis called Mom, I say, and lie across Mary's legs. What planet were you hatched on? Lex is the old guy from the bus. I can't believe he called already. It's only been a day since we got back. He's obviously desperate. What did he want?
To take me out to dinner, she says, her smile widening.
Miri pulls the covers over her head.
I don't want you to date again. You're going to forget all about us.
Never, ever, Mom says reassuringly.
Well, I'm not worried, I say. I want you to date again. Just not him. You're not going to go, are you?
Of course I am, she says. Why wouldn't I? Didn't you think he seemed nice?
Nice and old, I say. He probably eats dinner at 5 o'clock and orders the early bird special. Miri giggles from under the covers, and I add, you should be dating younger guys. I join Miri under the covers and then sit up so it feels like we're in a tent. My mom sighs.
Don't be mean, Rachel. And it's not like any other guys are knocking down my door.
When are you going out with him? Saturday night? At least someone in this place has a date. I lift the comforter and pull my mom underneath with me.
No, she says, sitting up beside me. I told him I'd be happy to go out with him on the weekend of the 8th.
Apparently, Mom plays hard to get. No last-minute plans for her. Someone's been reading her dating books. That's in 3.5 weeks.
It's not that long, she says. And it's the next time you girls are at your dad's.
We're not babies, Mom, I huff. You're allowed to have a life when we're here. Dad has a life. You should, too.
I can make out her shrugging shoulders in the dark.
So what did you agree to? I ask. A Saturday night dinner?
I didn't. I told him to call back closer to the date.
That's good, Miri says casually. Since he's so old, by then he might have kicked the bucket.
My mom snorts, and then the three of us laugh, and our tent feels warm and cozy like a cocoon.
I should start dinner, Mom says,
and reaches to dismantle our hideaway. "Don't," I beg. I don't want her breaking this bubble. I don't want to return to reality just yet. I don't want to worry about cows or going back to school or Raf or London or any of that. "It'll be fine," she says, patting my knee. Maybe she's right. The cow problem will eventually go away. And how bad can London's revenge be?